Hello, this is Coach Aaron Saft and the Running is Life podcast. Today, I'm talking about what happens when there are no answers, or the answers that are there are not what you want. Oh, goodness. So this past Sunday, I'm going to start out by talking about how this all came to be and what spurred on this podcast or this episode and idea behind it. Let's start with last Friday. So the plan for last Friday was to get in a medium long run with a good amount of climbing. I found a new trail off of another trail that's pretty new to me as well, and was like, well, this could be some pretty good climbing and practice for Hellbender and Heartbreaker. Heartbreaker is at the time of this recording just over a week away, and so I was going to do medium long run, good vert on Saturday. The plan was to do a work day on Snook's Nose, which is one of the toughest climbs on the Hellbender course. Then afterwards do kind of a run hike with the athletes I coach. Hike up Snook's and then kind of, you know, run back down. So and we'll talk about what happens here and why this all, you know, the plan went to, you know what, but Sunday was then going to be my long run. I started thinking of a course in my mind. And, so Friday I ran with my friend Nathan, and, he could only go for, part of the run, just due to his schedule. So, we ended up doing the route I was planning with the up and down, and I was going to do it twice, maybe even three times, depending on time. What ended up happening was I hopped in the car with Nathan, we drove over, and then I was just going to run home. So, the first time up and down, we did pretty good on the first up. The second up, we took pretty hard. We were both kind of feeling it, and, we wanted to get Nathan back. So, we got Nathan up and over, gave me a good idea for this kind of horseshoe, if you will, of going, out and back on this route. And some really good climbing, holy cow. On the horseshoe alone, over 1,600 feet of gain in about 2.1 miles, I think it was. So, the out was, it'd be 4 miles, excuse me, so 4.2. because the first climb had about 825 feet in about a mile, and then you go down about 1.1, and then come back. Back up had just over 800 feet of gain in 1.1, and then back down to the finish. So, man, like I said, about 4 miles total with a little over 1,600 feet of gain. Good up down, really good practice. So, dropped him off, and then I went back out, and we did a little out and back, so we added a little bit more vert in there. So when we got back to dropping Nate off, I had over 2,000 feet of gain already. I wanted to polish it off, so went back up and over and back, got back down. I was about 100 feet short of 4,000 feet, and I was like, well, I'm just going to polish this off. So I went back up, got the extra 100 feet. My legs were extremely tired, ran home, just absolutely whooped, got another, 100 or so feet on the way home, got in roughly 13 miles total with over 4,000 feet of gain. So really good run. And during that run, I had discussed with Nate my plan to do the long run on Sunday. And the idea was to run shut-in, and I had done this in the past, is go up the shut-in trail, which if you go from the base to Mount Pisgah is 5,000 feet of climbing, 3,000 feet of descent. What I traditionally do is I include a few more climbs, those climbs being Cold Knob and Grassy, and then I finish off with summiting Pisgah and back down, which brings total climbing closer to between 6,000 and 7,000 feet of gain. Probably more like 7,000 feet of gain. And so what we added was another new trail to us I think it's being called Greenie. Goes up to Green Hump for Three Humps, for those that know the Three Humps in Bent Creek. So the trail goes up there, and then we'd cut over to Farron Knob and continue on Shut-In. And then on my section of the Mount Sissi, the section from 151 to the Pisgah parking lot in Elk Pasture, there's a right that heads down kind of parallel to 151. So we were going to go down that and back up and then continue on our way and then summit Pisgah and back down. Sounded really good to Nathan. And then the work day that we were supposed to do at Snook's Nose got canceled. So with Nathan's schedule, he says, hey, you want to just get the long run done on Saturday? My mom's birthday was Sunday. You know, we were having family over. So I said, well, you know, I'm a little tired from Friday's run, but it might be a good idea to get, you know, it out of the way. So we planned for Saturday morning. We were going to get a good night's sleep, get an 8:30 a.m. start. And do this run. Now, we figured this run to be somewhere in the area of about 26 miles and roughly 10,000 feet of gain. We weren't sure. We're just kind of guessing off the top of our heads based off of, you know, the experience we had with all of these trails and climbing. So, you know, the good part was one of our friends, Caleb, who crewed and paced me at Wasatch, said he could help crew us here and, you know, stop along the way and replenish us so we didn't have to carry a lot of extra stuff, which was another perk to doing it on Saturday. So we decided to go for it. Felt good. And we saw some folks along the way, Rachel Blinn and Max Martinez, and stopped and talked. And, you know, so we were in no rush, but we got to Bent Creek Gap, even with the grassy climb and the cold knob climb, in about 2 hours, which is roughly an hour ahead of where I usually am on this run. So things were feeling good and clicking. I was really surprised, of how good, you know, it was going. Little bit concerned though. I mean, being an hour ahead of where I usually average to that point is significant, obviously. Fitness is definitely there. I'm happy with where the fitness is, especially the day after, you know, doing 4,000 feet of gain in 13 miles. So, but you know, it would come back on me, and that's where this podcast comes in. You know, just past that, we ran down, Piney, I believe. It's a super steep down single track. Nathan wanted to stay off Bent Creek Gap Road because, it seemed to bother his Achilles. So we went down, that and then came back up Bent Creek Gap Road to Lower Side Hill and jumped on, Greeny. And then started to do that, and that's where I really started to feel the fatigue. That climb is so hard. On fresh legs, that climb is so hard. I think it's probably the hardest climb on the route that we chose. And you can see this on Strava. I will put my my Strava link to the activity in the show notes, so you can kind of see the route if you're interested in it. It's and you know, I'll kind of finish off the story here, so you know what it ended up being. But that's where things were really starting to, you know, oh man, hurt. At Bent Creek Gap, we had met Caleb, replenished our fluids, replenished our, you know, our food, and then he had some croissants, which I would loved. I mean, it was, oh my gosh, it was so good. I was pretty hungry. But I think it was too much on our stomachs, just too much fat. Between the croissant, it had bacon and egg on mine, and it was just too much for my stomach. Just couldn't, you know, couldn't stomach it. Definitely had a hard time with the climb after that. My stomach was, you know, definitely letting me know I had just eaten, and probably had something with too much fat. You know, I should have known better, but we make mistakes. So there it is. but anyway, that climb really put a dent in me. I kind of started falling off Nathan. I had been really feeling pretty powerful, even on the steep stuff, even on Cold Knob, that has some really steep sections. But on this one, I started falling off a little bit. And, you know, Nathan got up, and then we usually take a right at the top of the climb and bag Green Knob, I think it's called. And it's one of the humps, and then we turn around and then, you know, head back on that trail, the Three Humps trail, to Farron Knob. and you know, my stomach started feeling a little bit better. We got to Fahrenheit, and we have a tradition of running from the stairs corner at Fahrenheit, where you kind of turn up left, of running up to the next corner. So we ran up to the next corner, and then hiked to the top of Fahrenheit. And honestly, my stomach started feeling better. You know, it wasn't great, but I was able to start eating again. And kind of just, you know, following my normal routine. And then we kept moving on shut in. You know, I could tell, definitely had some fatigue setting in. And, by the time we got to 151, that climb was super tough. You know, if you know shut in, when you get to 151, it's just a steep pitch ahead of you, a good, you know, quarter to half mile of just solid climbing. Managed okay to get up, and then we got to the trail that goes down parallel to 151, and Nathan was moving pretty quick, and I was trying to keep up, and I rolled my ankle. You know, I had my ankle brace on, I had my poles, but I still rolled it. It was just leafy, and I didn't see a rock, and turned my ankle, and had to take a second. That, you know, really, really bugged me, that I rolled it. I've just been neglectful of taking care of the ankle. It's on me. It really is. My own stupid fault. And, Will Frantz, my strength coach, called me out, as he should. And I need to be doing better. I need to fit it in somehow. You know, doing the rehab on the ankle, cause it's not going to get better unless I take care of it. So anyhow, we got down, kind of bottoms out on an old Forest Service road, and we decided, you know, it's not worth adding more miles just for, you know, a few more feet of gain. We already had a pretty big climb back up, like 1,000 feet in about a mile and a half. So, we just started heading back up. Ankle was okay. Stomach was okay. I was eating, but I was just exhausted. I was deep in exhaustion. And again, this is where our conversation for today, it comes in. And I'm going to talk about my mindset, where I was, how I managed it, and kind of go through things for you. Because, you know, there was a lot that I took away, and I'm pretty proud of it. So we'll talk about that momentarily. But I was able to manage. We got back up on a shut-in, started going, and then Caleb came and met us. He had come from the Mount Pisgah side. And if you know shut-in, the climbing's not done on shut-in. There's still some really big climbs in there. You know, I know Nathan was tired too. We were both just gassed. And Nathan was still, you know, climbing well. He looked strong. And, you know, he started making the saying, just there. As in, like, you know, the end of this climb is just there. So that became kind of our mantra, just there. And we both, you could hear both of us whispering it under our breaths in exhaustion, just there. You know, it'd be a little while, and, you know, Caleb was trying to keep our spirits up. Both of us were. I started breaking out in song, just trying to manage, keeping a positive attitude. And, you know, we laughed, and, the atmosphere was jovial. The atmosphere was positive. It was, even though we were exhausted, it was positive, which is amazing. And it's a testament to, you know, the people around us. It's a positive, you know, it's a testament to our mental fortitude and strength, that we've experienced this before. We've been through it, and we can laugh about it. We know what exhaustion is, and we know how to deal with it. We kept moving forward, you know, as we said, just there. And finally got up to the top of the 151 section of the climb, and descended into the Pisgah parking lot, where we dropped off our packs with Caleb in his truck. And Caleb was going to summit Pisgah with us. It was nice to just unload, and just, we just took our poles and headed for the summit. If you've gone up Pisgah, you know that it's a popular tourist site. So there's always people hiking up it, no matter what the weather is, no matter what the time of day. This was, you know, early afternoon, so prime time for people to be walking up there. That side of the mountain was clear. The other side of the mountain was kind of, you know, clouded in because of the weather that we were having on Saturday, but it was clear on our side. So we had a nice summit, got some nice views, took a picture, and, I mean, we were wiped out. I was just you know, so exhausted, just to the point where I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, just have to get back down, just there, just there, you know, just have to get back down to the parking lot, just there. So, we started descending, and, I could tell Nathan was tired. He said something. He's like, Nate, Caleb, just go in the lead. You're right on my heels. And Caleb's like, I am not. And Nathan just took off. So off they went, ripping down the mountain. And I caught sight of Caleb at one point, but I wasn't moving fast. You know, I don't know if you remember the story. I had been training and coming down from Pisgah, and I tripped and I smashed my face into one of the stone steps. I thought I broke my cheekbone and my thumb. So with that in mind and how slippery and slick it was from the rain we had, I wasn't going to go down fast. I did not want to get hurt. So I just took my time and let those guys go. And, I just kind of was happy that, you know, cause the run was about to be over. We had, over 9,000 feet of gain. So we got like 9,300 feet of gain in this thing, with some amazing, amazing distance. I think it was, just close to 24. So an amazing run. So it was a good run. Almost 24 miles, over 9,000 feet of gain. Lots of good takeaways, lots of good things to remember. I made lots of notes. But the core of this is what happened when, I went into that deep fatigue and just knew I was exhausted, knew this was going to be challenging, and didn't go negative, right? I didn't go into a dark place. That's what I want to talk about, is how not to go into the dark place. So, after all that, setting it up, we often talk about the questions we ask ourselves and how we ask those questions of ourselves. We talk about our why, the purpose, right? I understood the purpose of that training run, and that was massive, right? That's a huge piece of this. My goal is not Heartbreaker. Heartbreaker is a B goal for me, right? It is a stepping stone, a block along the way. So if I have a rough day at Heartbreaker, that's okay. I'm trying to set myself up for the best possible outcome at Hellbender. That's the big thing. That's the big goal. That's the A, right? I don't have any other A goals, right? Cabin Fever was a C. So, unfortunately, I didn't finish that, but it's a C goal. So this run, last weekend's run in the Smokies, these were good stepping stones. These were builders. These are pieces of the foundation that will set me up for success at Hellbender. So I understood the purpose of this run, right? I knew what had to be accomplished. I knew what I wanted to tackle and why I wanted to tackle it. So that was a huge piece of why I stayed in the mental state that I did. How I was able to stay neutral and positive about that run, even though things were going extremely rough, right? So first I understood purpose. I understood my why, right? There was something there. When we don't have that why, it's when things go sideways, right? When we can't keep the why at the forefront, and that's when the why isn't strong enough. And that is when you have to reframe your why. It can be in training. It can't be on race day, right? If your why isn't strong enough on race day, there is no time to change it. Right now is the time to work on that during your training. So if you get into a run and you don't understand your why, or you don't have purpose of the run, a why for that run, it makes things extremely difficult. So the why does not only pertain to the goal, to your A race. It pertains to your training. What is the thing that you hope to accomplish by that run that day? Okay? So make your why and establish the reason for your training of that day. Okay? Now, I knew going into that run, I already had a tremendous amount of fatigue based on the run the day before. I got that. I knew that. I understood that. I went into that run knowing the possibility that I would be really tired. I almost expected it, and that was a huge piece of it as well, knowing how you could feel and accepting that, okay? We often talked about the goals, okay? So when we talk about the reason for a run, right? We also have to accept how this run could go. Same thing with a race. If you have an A, B, and C goal in the race, if you're only okay with the A, B, and C, not being okay with those, when you get to B, because A is now out of the picture, and you're like, God, I have to accept my B goal, that means you're not ready to accept that B goal, and it is going to make it exponentially harder for you to accept and to continue on without the thought of DNF, okay? Without the thought of not finishing, because you haven't accepted the fact that, okay, I am now looking at achieving my B goal, right? When I did the Grand Slam, many times I went to my C goal of just finishing. A was out the window, B went out the window, and I accepted the fact that now I am left with C, just finish. And that was okay. I knew that. It still helped me achieve my goal of completing the Grand Slam. It wasn't what I wanted, obviously, but it helped me to get to my final goal. And again, I was accepting of that. It didn't diminish my performance. Of course I wanted to do better. Of course I wanted to have a better day, but that didn't happen. So I had to be accepting of where I was and what was happening. And that's what happened on Saturday. I took that same mindset and said, here's where I'm at. I am deeply tired. I am deeply fatigued. And that's the state I'm in. In order to finish this run, I just need to stay present and take care of what my body needs now. And that's where the what comes in, right? If you're asking yourself, why am I doing this in the present moment, then you have not established the reason or purpose for that run or your goal. And that's a huge missing key component. So make sure you understand that. I already had that answered. So I wasn't asking myself why. And at this point, I want to bring in an article that I read. And this may help you establish your why. I read the weekly newsletter from Mario Frioli, his Morning Shakeout. He sends out a weekly newsletter. I'll put a link in the show notes. He has some great thoughts and some great articles, some great podcast suggestions in his newsletter each week. And this article from the New York Times was titled, How Asking Five Questions Allowed Me to Eat Dinner with My Kids, by Charles Duhigg. So the article breaks down into how can this gentleman sit down to dinner with his wife and kids? That's the purpose. That's what he wants to achieve. Our goal is to finish a race, right? So when things go wrong, and this is how you can analyze, right? So obviously, I know how I could have done better in the long run. I wouldn't have done that run the day before. That's an easy solution. But when things go wrong, right, in your training, this is a good way to analyze, to kind of dig deeper and find what you could have done better to make that a success, right? So it's just drilling down. It's drilling down further and further. And this article is wonderful. I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes because it helps you get to the base root of the problem to help you get to the solution. And it all comes from the Toyota production system, right? This big manufacturing system that's trying to get to the root of the problem so that they can make it more efficient. And it's by asking why. Like why? And so that when you get to race day, there is not a question of why. It's what. What can I do in order for me to be able to continue forward? What am I not doing at the moment, at the present, that's causing me to slow down, to have a bad run? What can I do to make myself feel better? Okay. So obviously in my run, it was exhaustion. I was eating well. I was drinking plenty. I needed to slow down at the beginning. That was part of it, right? When I drilled down. Okay. So first it was, I shouldn't have done the big run the day before. Now, again, that problem with that was that we then moved the run to the next day, right? That was an afterthought after the run was already done. After my Friday run was done, we moved the long run up to Saturday. So not much I can do about that, right? I got a really good night's sleep, so that wasn't a problem. I ate breakfast. I had all of my gear ready. There was no stress. I had somebody crewing for us. So we had a lot of things in place. It was just this fatigue. And, you know, by starting out too fast, an hour ahead of where I should have been, by getting to Bent Creek Gap, I didn't put myself in the best possible scenario for doing well in this run. So there was part of the problem. Now, you know, I spoke with an athlete this morning who's also running Heartbreaker, and he asked my plan. I said, my plan is to go out super slow. I plan on running about 12 hours. Now, that's well ahead of Hellbender pace, right? I'd like to replicate Hellbender the best I can. Now, you know, during the Hellbender day, I'm looking at about getting to 50 miles at about 13:45. I'd like to run about 27 and a half. The front half's going to be a little bit slower, so it may be more like 18 hours 18 and a half, right? I'm going to look through Ultra Pacer and see what it has me with the elevation gain being more on the front half of the course. But to the point is, I want to make sure that I put myself in the best possible scenario for success, and that's not going out hard. Lesson learned from this, right? That's one of the big takeaways, is as to why did it go into such deep fatigue. It was because I went out too hard. We pressed too hard in the beginning. We pressed too hard on some of the climbs. On Cold Knob, I wanted to test my steep climbing legs. I pushed. I shouldn't have done that. I was too early in the run. On Green, Nathan was pushing. I should have just backed off and kind of, went at my own pace. I tried to push up the climb so I didn't keep him from waiting too long for me. So, some things here that I goofed up when I drilled down afterwards, looking at it and analyzing and saying, well, why did this go the way it did? Why did it get so hard aside from that, Friday? There were mistakes that I made, eating that croissant at Bent Creek Gap. That turned my stomach. That creates more fatigue too, because now your body is trying to process and rush blood to the stomach to digest this big meal that I just gave it. Again, another mistake. So drilling down into these things, finding the whys, right? That's a huge thing so that you can implement your race plan much better, right? So analyzing these things, analyzing your long runs, that's huge. We've talked about analyzing the long run in the past, but here it is again, right? Here we are, and here I am, right? I still make mistakes, right? I do. I've been at this forever, and I still make mistakes. It happens, right? But when we realize those, then we can look ahead to the future and say, okay, I was replicating, Hellbender very well in this run with a ton of climbing, definitely more climbing than I would in any 25-mile segment of Hellbender. But, beside the point, it gave me good training and it gave me a good time on my feet so I could see, okay, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do better on race day? And there it was, easing back on the climbs, not doing that kind of nutrition, that big meal dump in the form that it was. I needed, more carbohydrate rather than more protein and fat. Okay. So, all of these things collectively, it gave me good insight. So I drilled down into what was going wrong and found out what the root of the problem was, or the roots, right? In this case. What I also did, and I talked about this was a little bit, I stayed present. I stayed in the moment, right? I did not think about what was to come. I could not think about the next climb. When I was going down into off of the side of 151, the going down that, I was present in trying to stay focused on the ground ahead of me so that I didn't roll my ankle. Of course, unfortunately, like I said, I did. It happened. But I was present. I didn't care what my quads were telling me, that they were, screaming, hey, we're tired. That's not what, I couldn't do much about it. I'm on a steep downhill, right? I was going slow to be careful. I probably could have gotten slower, honestly. That's true. But that said, here we were just staying present. Okay. Absorbing the pain in my quads, absorbing the fatigue in my body, just saying, okay, this is the state I'm in. I have to get through this so I can get done. There's not much left. I couldn't focus on going back up. I wasn't there. I wasn't doing that yet. I had to be present in watching what I was doing. What did I need to do in the moment so that I could get to the turnaround and go back up that climb without thinking about that? And then, when going back up, we started doing some some distractions. We started talking about things, right? And what a distraction may be to you, because you may not have someone to talk to, is, well, okay, well, do you have music? Do you have something to listen to? Do you have, you know, a song you can sing, a thought you can think of, right? What makes you reflect and get deep into thought? Oftentimes it's my family, right? I think about my family, and that's a great distraction to me. I think about, you know, my wedding day. I think about the birth of my kids. I think about the times that they've had true fun doing something, right? Or something we've done together. Those memories oftentimes distract me enough that it takes me away from the present moment and the thoughts that would typically creep in at those times and make me tired, more distracted, more negative, right? So distract yourself from it. Distract yourself from the moment. That's a huge piece of it. We talked about having your why and your purpose, making those as strong as possible. Again, this is where there's a resource in Addie Bracy's book. I always go back to this, Mental Training for Ultra Running by Addie Bracy. There is a section in that book about determining your why. It's got a wonderful activity that you can go through and help build your why and make it as strong as possible by incorporating your values. We talked about that a few episodes back, is using your values to create your why and put purpose behind your training and your racing. So go back and listen to that episode as well. Besides distractions, what strengthens you? Again, my family is my strength, right? That's what really grounds me and gives me strength. Oftentimes in a race, you'll see my shorts. I have a picture of my family pinned upside down so that when my quad comes up, I see them, right? And that helps me. It strengthens me. I feel stronger because I remember, okay, I am afforded the opportunity to be out there because of them. You know, when we talked about it at Leadville, where we've got a debt to pay. You know, when Ked Kluber said that at the pre-race meeting, that struck a chord. That hit me deep. I was like, yes, I have a debt to pay to my family because they afford me the opportunity to do this, to be out there, to be running for 6+ hours on a Saturday, training in the mountains, doing something I love, because I could have been spending time with my family, but they want me to be out there. They know I love running. They know I love being out there. And that duplicity right there, the fact that my family loves me and loves me enough to allow me to be out there, and my love for running, that blend right there gives me strength, right? They know that this makes me whole. They make me whole. They're a part of this. And that's the debt I owe to them, to be out there, to be doing the best that I can and having the most fun as possible, because I'm gifted with this opportunity. This being able to run is such a blessing, and I realize that, and I appreciate that more than I can say. And that goes deep. That goes very, very deep with me, and it resonates. And I hope you can find what resonates with you if it's not the same thing. Because when you can and you can make that connection, you have power. You will be able to do more than what you think you're capable of, which is incredible. Because I moved through that fatigue and I finished that run. As tired as I was when I got to Pisgah, I knew I wasn't done. I said, I wish I could stop, but I wasn't done. I know the body has more. And I pushed it. I moved it. I moved that needle, right? Because of the strength that lies within me. I realized the capabilities that I have and that I wasn't done. So find yours. The body versus the mind, as we were kind of just talking about, the body wants to stop, and it's the mind that has to be solidified, you have to find the fortitude within your mind to continue, because it's really the mind that's shutting the body down. It wants to conserve energy. It wants you to cut it short. It doesn't want to dig deeper into the pain cave. And that's the moment you have to say, no, mind, I am digging deeper. I told those guys, I said, fellas, I'm so deep in the pain cave. If I turn around, all I see is darkness. I can't see the light. I am so deep into this cave, right? All I know is I'm chipping deeper, right? I'm at the wall, right? I'm at the, I guess that's called the debt, really, in a cave, in a mining terms. So I'm chipping away there. I'm chipping away at that debt. I'm at the wall face, and I'm chipping away. I can't turn around because there's just darkness behind me. And there's, you know, the only way forward is to keep chipping. So I kept chipping. And that's the only way I know. It's what I've grown up with. You know, going back to run the mile. That's the hardest event that I think I did was the mile. As you know, as stretched as that makes you feel. The best analogy, and I've said it before, is from Once a Runner. You create this orb, right? I picture it as a ball of light. And this ball of light, it just keeps getting bigger as the pain gets harder. As you get deeper into the pain cave, this orb just grows and it grows. And you get to the last lap of the mile, and that thing's about to burst. You're at your maximum. And that's when you cross the line. And that light just shines, right? It's the same thing here. I just created that orb. I let it grow. And then by the end of the run, I could feel so accomplished by getting through all of that. And the light just shone. It was just a wonderful feeling. Although the exhaustion was exorbitant, it was huge. I had such, you know, just a tired, deep fatigue. I knew that I had made it through all of that. Miles, you know, a few hours of just sheer exhaustion, right? But that's a moment of pride. That's a moment you can look back on and say, I've been more tired, okay? I've been, you know, in pain. I've been in more pain. And you can go back on those experiences. You can look back and reflect on those experiences and say, I've been in tougher times. I've made it through tougher. And sometimes it may be the toughest point. That may be the experience that you're having. But know your capabilities are so much more. Know that you can shield your mind from the experience that you're currently having, and you can expand, and you can go, and you can grow, and you can get strong. You can fight through it. That's the amazing thing about us as human beings, is we have so much potential to do so much more than we think we're capable of. And that was the key word in that sentence, was think. Because we're thinking. We're allowing the brain to create reactions. And when we allow our bodies to continue past through that, it's when we create new pathways in our minds that allow us to know that we are capable of more. And that's what that day showed me. I am capable of more. I am capable of pushing through the fatigue, even though sometimes I don't want to. Lord knows, after college, I was like, I am so tired of pushing through and fighting through, you know, those moments. But that reminded me of who I am and where I came from. I've had a lot of that recently in runs, is reminders of where I've come from, who I am, and where I want to go. I've posted about it. It's an amazing thing what we're capable of when we allow ourselves to do it. So use your past experiences to help you in those moments. Think back on them. You know, what did you do in those times? How do you move through this one currently? Okay. Finally, give yourself love and grace. Again, you have to allow yourself grace to know this is hard. What we do is extremely hard. Running is extremely, extremely hard. And some days are harder than others. But it is through those hard days that we learn more than we ever will on an easy day. We learn so much about ourselves and our capabilities, as I've mentioned, that you have to give yourself love and grace, because what you're doing is amazing. You are amazing. Love yourself and love the fact that you can do it, because it is such an amazing, amazing accomplishment when you get through one of those runs that has just taken you to the brink. And when you get to that brink and you're looking over the precipice and not going over the edge, you have to say, man, I took it really far today. And I did it. I am so happy with myself and proud of myself. May not have been the best run, but holy cow, I can see how strong I truly am. So, in conclusion, work on the chinks in your armor. Okay? Work on those little blemishes and those imperfections. Work on those moments. As I said, reflect. Look back and say, I could have done this better. This probably would have made the run go a little bit better, at least, so that when you get to the future, you have a reminder to yourself. Note you know, I'm not going to do the same thing. I learned my lesson. And sometimes it takes quite a few experiences. Obviously, I still do stupid things. But I have a fresh reminder now. And that's what I'll say, is I have a fresh reminder so that when I do these things again, I don't do the dumb things. I don't go out too hard. I don't eat a big croissant, you know, not even halfway into the run. So learn from your mistakes, okay? And improve that armor so you don't have weak spots. So that when you get to race day, you are lining up with the best capable body and mind that you potentially can have with all of the experiences that you've used, so you can draw upon them and say, been here, done this, not going to make the same mistake, here's how I'm going to fix it, okay? So take your notes. And if you don't know how, use your resources. Ask, you know, ask a coach, ask your running partner, ask your spouse, ask a professional. Use books, articles, podcasts, you know, really draw on your resources to help you figure out, okay, I've got this weakness, but I'm not sure how to correct it. Use your resources to help you do so. Don't be afraid to ask. Our community is here to help, right? That's the wonderful thing about us runners. We want to help others, and we want you to be successful. So ask for that kind of help. That's the end of this story. There's a lot there. There's a whole lot there. Oh my goodness. So many pieces of this. And, you know, I'm so wanting to take the next sports psychology certification. Again, it doesn't make me a sports psychologist, not even close, but it helps me dive deeper into the mental aspects of running. And that's a key piece that I think a lot of us neglect. I've learned, you know, over the past few years how to build that and how to use and utilize these tools that are available to us when we learn about them. And I think that's a key component to the growth. I've seen so much growth over the past few years and been able to do so much more over the past few years just because of working on the mental aspects of my training. And that is what helped me on this past weekend's run. Those mental tools and that mental fortitude that I've been building and growing with. So I hope you work on your mental growth. And I hope that you work on, you know, finding the tools that you need to help you through your running, your training, your events. Okay? So continue to grow. It's the biggest thing I can offer. And again, you know, this course is another piece of that puzzle for me. And finding what, you know, pieces of the puzzle you need to finish your puzzle, or at least make it more complete, then find those resources, find those tools, you know. So, but with that, I'm really... I feel good about expressing this. I feel good about getting this out there. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. You know, as always, questions, comments, concerns, let me know. Give me a heads up. I'd love to hear from you. Also love to hear, you know, if you want a particular guest or topic that I can talk on. So I'm so happy to hear from you guys. It really does, you know, make me feel a lot better. You know, I hope these episodes make you feel better and more encouraged, and definitely you have some new things to take away and use in your training. As I said, I've got about a week and a half till Heartbreaker, the 50 miler, excited for it. Hellbender will be soon thereafter, which is extremely exciting. You know, at this time, it's been extremely busy between outdoor track. We're finishing indoor track. We've got the Adidas Indoor Nationals this weekend, so we're finishing up indoor track, which I'm extremely excited for these kids to have this opportunity. So be traveling down to Virginia Beach for that. And then, you know, regular coaching, still extremely busy. I'm still extremely busy. You know, obviously, I want to help as many people as I can. At this time, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult. I can't, you know, unless some athletes stop after their spring races, I'll just need to say I can't take any new clients on for some time. I'm trying to take care of those that I have. Obviously, I really want to help others, but it's just not the time for that. So, but you know, if you have a question about your own training, please reach out for sure. Some folks have asked, you know, well, I just write a long-term plan for them. That's not my favorite thing to do. It doesn't do the athlete enough justice or service, because there's not much flexibility in the plan. And if things are going wrong, then you may not know how to correct it, and may just keep, you know, moving forward with the plan and it's not working for you. So I really don't like writing those type of plans for people. And if you're using one and it's working for you, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But you know, I also hold myself accountable. If I write a plan for somebody, I want to make sure that it works. I would hate for you to go through it and say, I had a really rough go at this. So, you know, if you're considering a cookie cutter plan, especially one that's not tailored or tapered to you, seriously consider, you know, potentially doing something else. and that's, you know, I would say for ultra marathoning, especially if you're marathoning, half marathoning, you know, some of the plans that are out there, not so bad, but ultra marathoning, there's just so many variables. I would really seriously caution you into buying just a static plan. I don't think it will do you the justice or, you know, give you the training or preparation that you truly need, because it doesn't take into account your individuality, your training history, where you're at and where you want to go. So, like I said, so not my favorite to write long-term plans. You know, obviously there's circumstances where I understand it's warranted and needed. But like I said, please, if you have questions about your own training or want to talk about your training, happy to do a consultation call. I'm going to put on the website about consultation calls, because I'm getting a number of questions from people that, you know, the conversations are lasting an hour, and like most coaches charge for that. I haven't been, because I just want to help. But with the amount of consultation calls I'm starting to get, I'm probably going to have to start charging, because it is taking away from time from my athletes and their potential call times. So, I apologize to all, especially if you've had a free consultation call in the past. But, again, with the amount of consultation calls that I'm doing these days, I'm going to have to start charging a little bit more or start charging. Don't let it prevent you from speaking with me. I'm happy to do a Zoom call and go over your training. If you've got kind of a layout of what you're thinking for your training, we can run through it and kind of see where you're at and what you're doing. So, please reach out. I thank you guys so much for listening, for being a part of this. If you're racing coming up, especially if you're going to be at Heartbreaker, I'm going to stay over Friday night at Camp Greer. I'll be camping. You've probably seen my Subaru in the past, license plate run. So I've got the box on top with a bunch of stickers. So I'm easy to pick out. Kind of got a reddish brown hair, a little bit sloppy at the moment, but don't hesitate. I am happy to say hi, and it'd be a pleasure to meet you. So please, even if we're lining up on Saturday, you know, say hey, I want to wish you luck. So and if you're doing something else, best of luck in your event. Thank you guys for being a part of the Running is Life podcast. Thank you, Patreons, for your continued support. And you guys just keep crushing it out there. Keep moving forward, my friends.